Hail, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line from the east part of the United States, back in Massachusetts, William H. Kennedy. And we have calling from Yakima, Washington, Dolores. Hi, Dolores. How are you doing?
Hi there. Thank you for taking my call, Dr. Monteith. I'm most anxious to have an answer on Bush's connection with the Skull and Bones and his family's long standing in it. And then King Saul, could you associate King Saul's decline as king and pulling over to satanic side with this kind of thinking?
Well, of course, you're asking two questions. You're asking about what does the Skull and Bones have to do with this? And then, of course, you're asking about this biblical story about King Saul as he began, of course, turning his back on his relationship with the Lord and, of course, going over to the other side. And, of course, where he really got into trouble was when he went to a witch. He went to conjure up the spirit. I've forgotten who the spirit was. Was it Samuel?
It was Samuel.
Right. Yeah. And, of course, he was told you're never supposed to go to witches and things like that. But, of course, he embraced the dark side. But let's get Mr. Kennedy to discuss the Skull and Bone Society, and then if he wants to talk about the Samuel and Saul, why, we'll do that. But, William, would you like to talk a little bit, answer Dolores' question about the Skull and Bones? Where does that fit in?
The Skull and Bone Society is a fraternity at Yale University, which was founded in 1832. Back then, what happened is President John Quincy Adams had banned Freemasons from a great deal of administrative jobs in the U.S. government. So these elites at Yale went to Germany, and they got a separate charter from a German fraternity, which is unnamed, and they set up the Skull and Bones fraternity at Yale, and they have a temple there called the Tombs, which is on the campus of Yale University. Now, the parent organization of the Skull and Bones is called the Russell Trust, and the Russell Trust actually owns most of the land that Yale University rests on. So you'll never hear anyone at Yale say anything bad about the Skull and Bones because they could evict the university from its home. The Skull and Bones is essentially a satanic organization. Many prominent people throughout history, U.S. history, have been members, including Averell Harriman, Henry Stimson, William F. Buckley, George Bush I and George Bush II.
And Prescott Bush before them. McGeorge Bundy. Stimson got us into the Second World War. McGeorge Bundy was the National Security Advisor who engineered the Gulf of Tonkin incident. And, of course, it got us into Vietnam. These people just love war.
They sure do.
And, of course, George Herbert Walker Bush got into the First Gulf War, and George W. Bush got us into the Second Gulf War. But there are tremendous cult overtones, and we'll be talking a little bit about that in just a moment, Dolores.
Right.
You hang on there. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is William H. Kennedy on the line from Yakima, Washington, is Dolores. And we were talking about Skull and Bones. You want to pick up the story of Skull and Bones because I think it's so vitally important that people understand here is a real, live, occult, satanic organization operating at the top of both political parties today.
Sure.
And why don't you tell a little bit about the Nazi connection?
Well, there's a very strong Nazi connection between the Skull and Bones and the fascists during World War II. I should also point out that John Kerry and George Bush were both members of the Skull and Bones fraternity. So the last election was really a matter of which Skull and Bonesman you wanted in the White House. That was your the only choice you really had, whether you realize it or not. Now, the Skull and Bones Society actually eats off a set of silverware that was stolen by a Skull and Bones member from Adolf Hitler's estate, and they eat off the very silverware that Hitler used. What makes the Skull and Bones a satanic organization is its initiation ceremony, which they pick 15 juniors every year to be the next generation of Skull and Bonesmen, and they go through a series of training, and then they have an initiation ceremony on the end. Now, part of this initiation ceremony involves, it's actually a black mass. What they do at the end of it is they drink either wine or blood out of a human skull, a real human skull, and then they are taken into the inner temple of the Skull and Bone Society headquarters called the Tombs. Now, when they're in this inner temple, they kneel down before three figures. One is dressed as Lucifer with horns. The other is dressed as the Antichrist. He wears a Pope's mitre and has his foot on a skull. And the third figure is a black knight. Now, what you're looking at here is the Infernal Trinity. That is an inversion of the Christian Trinity of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Now, every Skull and Bonesman who goes through this, they take women now too, by the way, they kneel down and take their final oath to this Infernal Trinity, which are three students who are dressed up like the Infernal Trinity. And the final thing they do is the knight, which is really Satan, comes over and dubs them a knight of Eulogia, which is the Greek goddess of eloquence. So that gives them a tie to New Age and Wicca religion as well.
You're going to have to hold that thought for just a moment there, William. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest is William H. Kennedy. We were talking about Skull and Bones, the fact that they have a set of silverware there that was actually belonged to Adolf Hitler. And when you are in the tomb, your senior year, you live there. Why you eat off of the silverware of that came from the collection of Adolf Hitler? They have all sorts of swastikas there. But of course, as William points out, the real thing that makes this a satanic organization is that after drinking either blood or wine from a human skull, they go into and they kneel down before the representations of Satan, of the Antichrist, and of the false a philosopher, the false pope, and the spiritual ruler of the world. And of course, they swear their oaths to this dark force. Why would they do that? And then, of course, they are knighted and brought into this special knighthood, which is the brotherhood of the Skull and Bones. And I think there's, whether these people realize the significance of their oaths or not, like many Masons who actually ask for the light to come into their body, they ask for this illumination without understanding that when the Mason asks for the light, what they're asking for is Lucifer. And, of course, until they've renounced that, why they will always be held by the prince of this world. And the same thing I would say would be true for Skull and Bones, wouldn't you, William?
Oh, sure. Well, what you have to remember is that
well, it looks like we've lost our caller, and We've lost both of them. We've got a little glitch here, but I'm going to ask our producer to get them back on the line again. Those things happen sometimes when you're you begin getting pretty close to the devil's heartbeat. Why you can actually find that there are forces out there, spiritual forces or real forces. We never know. Maybe it's just coincidence, but under any way circumstances, this is William Kennedy was about to give us a little bit more information on the satanic organization that leads both political parties in America today. Why, of course, we suddenly lost him and we lost our caller Dolores. So anyway, under any circumstances, we'll hopefully have them back here very soon. We do have here at Radio Liberty information on the Skull and Bones you won't be able to get elsewhere. We have the membership list as published by Skull and Bones. We got this from the daughter of a member of Skull and Bones who had one of their secret membership lists, and so we have we provide you with that. We actually have the book, The Secrets of the Tomb by Alexandra Robbins. We carry the book, The America's Secret Establishment by Anthony Sutton, Fleshing Out of Skull and Bones by Kurt Milligan, and then, of course, we have a four-tape set, four audio interviews that I've done on Skull and Bones. Nobody else has anything comparable to that. So if you'd like to get information on Skull and Bones, it is available. And we lost Dolores, I'm sorry. But we've got William Kennedy back on the line.
You
anyway,
got cut off. I'm sorry. They must have heard me somewhere and cut me off.
Well, we'd like to refer to it as gremlins. Under any circumstances, why it's good to have you back. And we're talking about the Skull and Bones. And, of course, you know, I don't think there's any question in my mind or the mind of anybody who has ever studied Skull and Bones that this is a satanic organization. We have this one wonderful interview with Alexandra Robbins, who'd really studied this, and she had actually talked to a woman, the only person that I know of outside of the gentleman Rosenbaum, who had actually photographed with a video camera one of the initiation services. But this woman had actually been hiding in the loft of a barn when there was a Skull and Bones wedding. And here are these people who rule our country. I mean, they control our banking, they control our educational system, you dominate the CIA, they control our great corporations, they're even sometimes in the White House itself. And here they are in their black robes, you know, and their candles, and this strange pagan chants, and this woman doesn't believe this is real. She starts laughing, and she doesn't understand these people are deadly serious, and one of them comes up to her and says, if you ever mention this, you will die. And, you know, these people are very serious. This is not a laughing matter. So pick up the story there, William.
Sure. Well, when you consider that, you know, in the last election, Kerry and Bush, if you're a Christian, you really couldn't be both a Christian and a Skull and Bonesman like Kerry and Bush both claim to be. I've known former Freemasons, former Rosicrucians, who have renounced these organizations and denounced the oaths they took. That's not what Kerry and Bush did on Meet the Press a couple months ago when Tim Russert asked both of them separately about the Skull and Bones. They kept their vows. They evaded the question. They wouldn't even acknowledge being members, which are what Skull and Bonesmen are told that they must do.
I thought that they both of them said something about it so secret we can't talk about it. It's something of the sort.
President Bush said that, but the point being is that President Bush claims to be an evangelical Christian, and John Kerry claims to be a devout Catholic. You can't be those things and keep your Skull and Bones oaths. They are completely incompatible. You can't be an evangelical Christian and a Skull and Bonesman. And you can't be a Roman Catholic and a Skull and Bonesman, because the Skull and Bones organization is clearly a satanic organization. The fact that they evaded the question, all that proves is that they're still loyal to the Skull and Bones Lodge more so than they are to, you know, anyone else or any other organization on this planet. You know, I mean, when you consider the people like Henry Luce, the founder of Time Magazine, was a Skull and Bonesman, and his Skull and Bones secret name was Baal, you know, the Canaanite god, the Canaanite devil god. And also the founder of Federal Express is a Skull and Bones mini. So if you've ever bought Time Magazine or sent or received a package from with Federal Express, you have participated in a satanically owned organization, whether we realized it or not.
Well, whether we like it or not, why we're surrounded by this on every side. I mean, they work within the media, they work within our corporations, they work within our financial system. You can't divorce yourself from these dark forces.
Oh, no, they're everywhere. You couldn't function at all in our society if you weren't dealing with them on some level.
In fact, we use their money all the time.
Oh, yeah.
It is their emblem, and I'm not talking about Skull and Bones. I'm talking about this emblem of the ancient mystery religions, the satanic societies, that is on the back of the dollar bill. That's what that emblem is. It long antedated masonry. We have an interview with Professor Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor. When he talks about, of course, he despised people like you and me with him. He referred to us in his book, Tragedy and Hope, as the petty bourgeois who voted for Barry Goldwater. The petty bourgeois who voted for Barry Goldwater. But he said, you know, these people come and they point me the emblem on the back of the dollar bill, and they say that's the emblem of the Illuminati. Why, he said, that emblem has been around for 6,000 years. And he's absolutely right. That emblem has been. It's been passed down through the mystery religions and secret societies for 6,000 years. It went on the back of the Great Seal of the United States in 1782. Went back on the back of the American dollar in 1935 because of Henry Wallace, who was a Satanist. He was involved with Nicholas Roars. He was deeply involved with theosophy. He was a Mason, and he was the one who convinced Henry Morgenthau and President Roosevelt to put that occult emblem on the back of the dollar bill.
Then,
of course, to make total ridicule, they put above that later, "In God We Trust," meaning, but what God are we trusting in?
Oh, right. That is also the symbol. The pyramid with the all-seeing eye is also the symbol of Britain's MI5 security service.
Well, of course, you know, when they were going to organize a special group here under Admiral Poindexter immediately after the 9-1-1 attack, they used that emblem for a time. This was a secret intelligence group, and then, of course, they changed it. It was up on their website, but they were going to use that emblem. An official government emblem for an intelligence group headed by Admiral Poindexter, that man of great integrity, who was actually pardoned so he didn't have to go to jail for lying to Congress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the Skull and Bones is all pervasive. Remember, you don't have to control absolutely everything to have absolute control. There are just a few choke points, a few key positions that these sorts of groups like to move in on, like the presidency of the United States, for one, but other things as well. And they have extension organizations like the Bohemian Grove, which is out in your neck of the woods in California, which Governor Schwarzenegger is a member of. And they have some equally bizarre occult ceremonies. They have a mock human sacrifice. They pray before a giant owl god and wear very strange Ku Klux Klan type robes.
With the hoods, it sounds very much like Skull and Bones.
Yes, it sounds like I call it an extension organization of the Skull and Bones. And it wouldn't be too surprising because there a lot of Bonesmen are also members of the Bohemian Grove. And
the Council on Foreign Relations, all interlocked.
It's funny, that's where you get into the outer tier groups like the Bilderbergers and the Council on Foreign Relations. Now, they would have a little bit less occult symbolism, but they are still doing the work of these occult secret societies, whether they know it or not.
It's not just by coincidence that the emblem, the logo of the Trilateral Commission, just happens by accident to be three intertwining sixes. We'll be back here in just a moment with our special guest. We actually have Leif calling from Norway, so we'll have to get to him first of all, because it's the expensive call. We'll be back in just a moment with William H. Kennedy talking about why the Brotherhood of Darkness, the Skull and Bones, and of course getting back to the original topic, which was the Satanic Movement, which is alive and well, not only in America, but throughout the world today. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and we've got Leif on the line calling. It's from Bergen, isn't it?
That's right.
Okay, good to have you with us. Did you have a question or comment?
Well, can I have both?
Sure, you can have both.
Thank you. Well, I happen to live now in the city where one of those started those church fires that were spoken of in the first hour.
Yeah.
And he was in prison for 21 years. That's
Varge Vikernes is his name?
Yes.
Varge. Varge means wolf in Norwegian.
Yes. Varge Vikernes is the way he pronounced it.
Vikernes. Okay, thank you.
And, yes. And but he was actually in prison for murder.
Right, he stabbed his best friend in the head with a knife.
Something like that. It was kind of a copyright issue with some music or stuff like that. They say it.
Black metal music.
Yes.
Go ahead, Leif.
A second comment is that just some days ago I discovered the OTO. I knew the OTO had lodge in this city. They had actually two different OTO lodges. But I discovered a document of the OTO that they have themselves available for download on the internet, where they have the right to kill anyone who opposed their meanings. They say that Christianity is their number one enemy, and anyone who wants to oppose them, they have a right to kill.
Now, is that in Norwegian or is that in English?
Norwegian, but they have it's a Norwegian document written in 2003, but with history of OTO, and it's like an document.
Well, you know, there's no question at all that the absolutely right. I mean, Christianity is under attack all across America today in every form, even to the point where a teacher was recently cited and criticized and chastised here in California because they brought a copy of the Declaration of Independence into the class because it talked about God. This is how far things have gone here in America. They've taken the Christ out of Christmas, and the average person says, gee, I don't understand what's going on. Why are these things happening? It should be so obvious. There's an organized effort to destroy Christianity.
And the question was, to the guest, are you saying that Crowley did not sacrifice anyone or involved in ritual sacrifice of anyone? I think you said he was not proof of anything like that.
All right. Is there any proof? Well, there's been a lot of stories about it, but was there ever any proof, or what do you think about it?
I think he killed Raoul Loveday deliberately on Sicily, as Betty Loveday, Raoul Loveday's wife, kept saying, because from when he drank the cat's blood, Crowley predicted the exact time he would die. He died 2 days later at a certain time in the afternoon.
Well, it wasn't the cat's blood, then it was a poison.
I think there was poison in the cat's blood, personally. That's
okay.
My opinion. I think he was involved with at least one human sacrifice.
And second question, what evidence is there that there is no human sacrifice, because all the rites, many of the rites I have read about, involves describing slaying people, and they say on the top of the rite that this is only a metaphor and that only people involved in it will understand. Isn't there things like proxy killings? I heard about this. They have killed people other places, and at the same time they have had rituals.
Oh, sure. That's a very common thing. They will have a ritual in one area, and they will have other Satanists actually murder someone in a remote location.
Right.
I've heard that dozens of times.
Hold on. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and back now we have Leif on the line. He's calling from Bergen in Norway, and he was asking about, of course, proxy killings. In other words, they will hold a satanic ceremony with a feigned human sacrifice, and then, of course, the real human sacrifice is carried out elsewhere. And, of course, that story is told. That's how Malachi Martin opens his book, Windswept House, talking about a feigned human sacrifice in the basement of the Vatican. And then when I talked to corresponding with a real human sacrifice being held elsewhere. I asked Malachi, you know, this is a novel you're writing, but did something like that really happen? And he said, yes, it really did happen. And this is not an indictment of the Catholic Church. It's an indictment of the fact that there are satanic forces that have infiltrated the Vatican, just as they've infiltrated the Protestant religion and the Jewish religion, and I believe that they do have these proxy sacrifices. Anything else, Leif?
No, that's all for me. Thank you.
Thank you, Leif.
Thank you so much, and God bless you and protect you over there. Because are there many people over there who have any glimpse of what's going on, Leif?
Well, yes, there is actually there's a Christian newspaper called Magazina, the Magazina, and he have written extensively, or a bit, of Freemasonry and something about OTO. I believe he's about the only one. They even have a search online on the internet where they can search for members of the Masonic Lodge in Norway. But it's a different degree system here in Norway. We have 10 degrees, 11th degree is honorable, and the other ones above that are secret. So it's not the 33rd degree level as in Europe, as in America. It's a different system. But there are people, yes, and I think people are beginning to wake up more and more.
Well, please, if we can get them listening to our programs, if they can understand my English, why, maybe we can get them educated so they can help you, and we can help you turn Norway around.
Yeah.
God bless you. Thanks so much for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, that was Leif calling from Bergen, and it's always good to hear from him. Well, you know, of course, what a wonderful opportunity it is to talk to people throughout the world, because what we're seeing here in the United States is not unique. This dark force and these dark forces permeate the entire world. They've wiped out Christianity pretty well in Europe. Today, Brigitte Bardot has been criticized for saying that France is no longer a Christian nation. It's become a Muslim nation. And, of course, behind the Muslim religion are these same dark spiritual forces that have infiltrated certainly the foundations of Christendom here in the West. So pick up the story from there, William.
I just wanted to say that I'm going to have a chapter on what Lake just talked about, that series of murders, which was over in Norway, the black metal murders. Norway has taken a very stern outlook on Satanism. The Satanic Bible, Anton LaVey's book, is now barred in Norway.
No, good for them.
They officially did it, and Norway is being very sensible, quite frankly, because black metal Satanists were burning down their churches, some of them that went back to the 1100s. So the rest of the world takes this a lot more seriously than Americans do. I just thought I'd share a really interesting and somewhat funny story about Anton Zandor LaVey I came across in my research.
Right, anything that could be funny against this
Well, you'll get a chuckle out of this, Doc.
Okay, fine. Well, I need a good chuckle once in a while.
Towards the end of his life in the 90s, Anton Zandor LaVey, the Black Pope, develops cardiac trouble, and where he went to for free medical care as a charity case was St. Mary's Roman Catholic Hospital in San Francisco.
All right, well, I guess that deserves a chuckle.
And not only did he take free health care, because the UC hospital there won't give you free full care, he also took material aid, like vouchers for Safeway supermarkets. He was pretty destitute towards the end of his life. And St. Mary's is run by the Sisters of Mercy, and I guess they're a lot more merciful than I am, because I probably would have thrown the Black Pope out.
Well, of course, we are supposed to forgive everybody and try, through our example, to win them to the Christian religion. I wish we could all be that merciful, and we try, but sometimes I'm afraid that we have human frailties.
It's a strain.
Hey, right. Okay, fine. Well, of course, we're going to be back in just a moment here. Well, our special guest, William H. Kennedy, and, of course, William's, you can go to his website at williamhkennedy.com, and we'll talk a little bit more about this later. He's got a great book out there, and maybe we can even talk about that when we get back right here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, our guest this evening of William H. Kennedy. Before we get into William's other book that he's written, let's go to Kurt calling from Santa Cruz. Hi, Kurt. How are you doing?
Fine. I have a question. Perhaps your author guest there can answer. What is the tie-in, or is there a tie-in, between the Thule Society and Skull and Bones?
All right, that's a legitimate question. Is there a tie between the Thule Society, which is, of course, really the background of the Nazi movement? It was the occult society from which the Nazis got their supernatural power. Is there a tie-in between that Bavarian society and the Skull and Bones, which seems to come out of Bavaria? What are your thoughts on that?
I would say there is a definite ideological tie. I don't know if there is any direct links apart from someone like Prescott Bush, who dealt a lot with those people. Both the Skull and Bones and the Thule Society both come out of German folkish mysticism, which became popular about the time of the Enlightenment. So ideologically speaking, they are certainly allied. They have a lot of similar racial teachings. The Skull and Bones is an incredibly racist organization. Prescott Bush started the American Eugenics Society back in the 20s and did business with the Nazis. So there you have a direct link. Prescott Bush and a lot of former Nazis were Thule Society members. In fact, the National German Socialist Workers Party was originally the political arm of the Thule Society. So just in short, yes, there's a definite connection via Prescott Bush.
Okay, anything else, Kurt?
Where would one do the research going back well beyond Prescott Bush to find...
There's an excellent book out which Dr. Stan is carrying by Alexandra Robbins called The Secrets of the Tomb,
uh-huh.
And that gives a full, concise history of the Skull and Bones and all of the spin-offs, including its connection to National Socialism.
But what about the connections? National Socialism, I suspect, was a later offshoot of the Thule Society. What about earlier connections?
Sure, there's lots of earlier connections. There's an excellent book called The Occult Roots of Nazism by Goodrich Clark, and it talks about some of the ties between German folkish groups and American German Bund groups.
But no, other than the fact that, gee, they both smell the same, they both have a white stripe down the back.
Hold that thought
sure.
For just a moment there. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening, William H. Kennedy. Our caller is Kurt from Santa Cruz, and he wants to know there's a definite tie-in between the Thule Society, from which Nazism came from, and the Skull and Bone Society, which came out of Bavaria. And Kurt, I don't think that you can come up with anything more than William has told you. Nobody's come forward and said, yes, the Skull and Bones Society came out of the Thule Society. Certainly the best information we have is in Alexandra Robbins' book, which I've read, but she doesn't necessarily tie the two together, although there's a common denominator within the occult. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much.
Okay, God bless you, and let's go to Howard, who's calling from San Antonio, Texas. Hi, Howard, how are you doing?
Well, good, Dr. Stan. Hey, Dr. Stan, you guys need to clarify something. That McVeigh or whatever, guy from San Francisco, he's not the Black Pope. The Black Pope is in the Vatican.
Okay, but that was the term that he used at
Paul. Oh, okay, I wanted to clarify that.
Okay, that's a legitimate. Would you like to respond to that at all?
Sure. Anton LaVey referred to himself as the Black Pope. I'm not particularly fond of the fellow who's in the Vatican at the moment, but I think his successor will be more of the Black Pope than he is.
I think that he's probably referring to the head of the Jesuits that often talks to the Black Pope.
The Jesuits have always been in the occult. I mean, not the lower rank. I'm talking about the higher rank. I mean, those guys, they've left a track mark for people, books about what those characters have been doing. The average priest, even, who's confronted them of higher rank, they have had problems with them because they they are not the average priest. Let's put it this way.
Well, certainly in recent years, this has been, I don't know how long it's been going on, but there have been, the entire hierarchy, certainly, I think, of the Jesuits has been infiltrated, but they're working within the Protestant church, too, Howard. So, let's spread the brain around. It's every place. They're on all sides of us now, so we can shoot in any direction and hit them.
Dr. Stan,
right.
Ignatius Loyola was in astroplaning. He was in levitation. He was in all kinds of stuff.
Who is that?
Ignatius Loyola, the founder of the Jesuit order.
Okay, well, we don't want to get into a long...
I know.
Thanks.
But, I mean, it goes all the way back to that time.
Okay, thanks so much.
All right.
Do you want to respond at all to that, William?
Well, just the term the Black Pope for the head of the Jesuits, I heard that Malachi Martin used that somewhere, I believe.
Well, he used
his
that in his book on the Jesuits.
Right.
And he referred to the head of the Jesuits as the Black Pope, who apparently wore a black cassock in contrast to the head of the Catholic Church, who wore a white cassock.
Right. But the term Black Pope, that was Anton LaVey must have borrowed that from the Jesuits.
He probably did, as a matter of fact. But, of course, these occult forces are every place. In fact, I was watching television recently with my one Sunday afternoon, and they had this magician in New York, and he was a street, magician. He was a street magician. And then, of course, he would begin to levitate, and they would actually have pictures of him levitating. And I'm sure a lot of people are saying, gee, how does he do that? Gee, that's a good trick. I wish I knew how to do that. Well, of course, he was using satanic supernatural power. And people can levitate, but of course you sure don't want to learn how to do it, let me tell you, because it can cost you your eternal soul. So let's get back to our subject at hand, which of course is these various satanic organizations. And before we got off on the Skull and Bones, why we were basically talking about Aleister Crowley, then of course we'd gone from Crowley on into these other satanic organizations. Where were we before we got waylaid there? Was it so long ago it's sort of hard to remember?
We were talking about the Process Church of the Final Judgment. Just stuff that's in my article, which you can get on williamhkennedy.com. And I guess the big reason I just want to point out, Dr. Stan, that I'm very much a libertarian, so I don't particularly want to legislate against Satanism. I seek to educate against Satanism.
I think that's what we both want to do, because if we legislate against Satanism, with the Satanists in control, the next thing you know, why the Christians are going to be running for the hills.
Oh, sure. I mean, you couldn't do it if you wanted to. But I think once people take a look at, you know, what really horrible human beings people like Crowley and LaVey were in their personal lives, they'll be less apt to get involved with these sort of things. And this article is especially good for parents and grandparents who, if you have a teenager in the family who's getting involved with, black magic or goth culture or heavy metal music, you could learn from this article. And this is where grandparents are very good. They can pull the kid aside and say, look, you know, that Crowley was involved in some homosexual things. So was Anton LaVey. Do you want to get hooked up with these people? And once you give teenagers these basic facts about what goes on in these satanic groups, you know, 99% of the time, once they're informed, they kind of automatically move away from it.
Well, of course, one of the points you make is about what happened at Littleton, Colorado, and, of course, the two young men there who shot so many of their schoolmates. And, of course, there are lots of explanations for what went on, but there was a strong satanic component to what they did, wasn't there?
Oh, yeah. Well, the Columbine shootings were a satanic action. Brooks Brown, who was a member of the Trenchcoat Mafia, the day after the shooting, he was asked what the cause was, and he said Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, who were the two shooters, were big into anti-God Satanism. That was his first reaction. Now, Eric Harris, on his webpage the night before the shootings, which happened on April 20th, 1999, Hitler's birthday, he posted an image, drawing he drew, of the devil orchestrating his actions from hell. Now, what's very bizarre and what's very disturbing to me is there are a couple former Church of Satan priests out there. Since Anton LaVey died in 1997 of heart disease, his group has broken off into even more splinter groups. But some of these people are actually glorifying what Harrison Klebold did that day. And what I fear these people are doing is they're trying to reach out to someone who might be unstable, an unstable teenager who's into Satanism, an unstable adult, and they'll egg them on into doing illegal activities and even murder, but they themselves hide behind free speech laws. So there's really not a lot you could do directly to them. The worst thing you can do that, you know, I've aggravated these people is I educate against them, and they've openly threatened me many, many times.
Well, I'm sure that they have, and I'm sure that anybody who stands up and tries to expose what's going on is going to be have their life in danger. But we can't worry about it. You have to rely upon the Lord.
Oh, no, no. I just pointed out to say how seriously these people take it when you start to bring out facts about them.
Well, I think, you know, the interesting thing is, look at our educational system. We've taken God out of our schools. We've taken any prayer out of our schools. Any realization that there is a spiritual battle, that there is an eternal hell, that there is eternal punishment for us for sin. And, of course, then, of course, we expose our young people to singers like Marilyn Manson, who is a Crowleyite. And, of course, you haven't yet seen the video that we carry. They sold their souls for rock and roll, the 4 or the 10 hour version of that. That's they sold their souls for rock and roll, the 4 or 10 hour version. You need to get it. You need to watch it. And you need to watch it a couple of times and begin to understand how these singers, how these rock groups, these satanic rock groups, really are preying on the minds of our youth. And, of course, as William points out in his article, why you'll see Aleister Crowley's picture on the cover of the Beatles album. What was that? The Sergeant Pepper's
Lonely Hearts Club.
Right, yeah. And there's the picture of Aleister Crowley. And, of course, Marilyn Manson was a Crowleyite, and Ozzy Osbourne's a Crowleyite. And most of our people who are involved in the rock music or even in the popular music of today are into Satanism and into the supernatural and are channeling their music, and the average individual has no idea these things are going on. We have a wonderful book called The Fallen Angel, going into, of course, one of the leading bands of modern times, the one that actually put out the emblem about the star, the album on the Staircase to Heaven, I think is the title of it.
Stairway to Heaven.
Stairway to Heaven, right. And, of course, that band, too, was a Crowleyite band. They were all deeply into Crowleyism. They were all into Satanism, and yet our young people are going around just humming these tunes and songs.
Well, it's really funny you should say that, Dr. Stan, because I have a chapter in Columbine in my upcoming book, and you talk about school prayer. Do you know, that was the number one thing that the kids who were trapped in that school on that awful day when people were being butchered around them, they all said that they prayed.
I hope the school authorities didn't know that, because they probably would have been there, you know, with their rulers to beat them, you know, for daring to pray in school.
Arrest. Well, you're going to have a prayer in school one way or the other. So I think they should bring it back. You know, you could have it voluntarily. Not everyone, you can't force someone to pray. It's impossible to do. But if people want that as an option, they certainly should have it, as opposed to waiting around for something like another Columbine to happen where, you know, a lot of atheists even prayed on that day.
But, of course, the thing is that our children today are told that they can't pray in school. They can't acknowledge God. They can't have a T-shirt that talks about God. They can't have a Bible in schools. And then we wonder why we're having problems. There is a organized, orchestrated, satanic effort to destroy the Christian foundation of America. And where is the outcry from our churches? I mean, why did the Catholic churches close down so many of their schools for their children, like, you know, grammar schools and high schools, and the same thing with the Protestants? I mean, every Protestant church should be a school, but none of the ministers want to do that. It's too much work, and after all, they might offend somebody who worked in the public school system. And yet, almost half of the public school teachers, certainly in Washington, D.C., send their children to private schools. They wouldn't send them to government schools.
Oh, no. I mean, the thing is, it's all a misunderstanding of our Constitution. We have freedom of religion. No one ever promised us freedom from religion. Other people have religious views, and they are certainly free to express them, and they should be certainly free to express them in a public institution that's paid for by taxpayers. And there's no way you can restrict speech in that manner. That is more against the Constitution than allowing people to pray or have Bible study groups in schools. Christians who are into that sort of thing, they tend to be good students, and you know, not everyone wants to listen to them, but you know, I know a lot of teenagers who don't want to hear glaring black metal music either, but they're certainly allowed to have that in school.
Amen to that. Well, we got real problems in America because people don't understand the spiritual battle we're involved in. The educational system has been taken over its top by people, of course, who have a different agenda, and their primary goal is to destroy the Christian faith. And when you understand that, then everything makes sense. Other than that, nothing makes sense. So, but I thought that your treatise there in the essay that you have on your website on what happened at Columbine was a very, very important conclusion to this fascinating essay that you put up, giving us an overall overview of what's going on, and of course, bringing out the process church of the lateral final judgment. If you go up on the internet and you type in Process Church of the Final Judgment, over 3.5 million entries, and of course, David Berkowitz, the son of Sam Keller, claims he was a part of a branch of this. Charles Manson said to be associated with a branch of this organization, and yet, of course, this is never mentioned, that there is this nationwide organization. You have to be very powerful to conceal information like this, and you have to have powerful forces or friends in the police force to keep the police from investigating that. And I'm sure you probably have read the book by Maury Torrey.
Oh, yeah, Maury Torrey.
The Ultimate Evil.
Yeah.
And, of course, you have a feeling that there are some police officers and law enforcement people who want to bring out the truth, and there are other people that are working to suppress the truth about the satanic connections. Did you have that feeling?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I hear a lot from retired police officers. You know, a fellow in Louisiana and a fellow who was in New York. One was a retired captain, one is a retired deputy sheriff. And they've told me that, you know, any policeman who's done 20 years can relate dozens, if not hundreds, of stories of occult-related crimes which went unreported in the official police report and were never brought up in, you know, court proceedings. And the forensic people were told just to ignore things like pentagrams on the wall or altars of different sorts, diabolical altars. So former law enforcement are the people who will tell you that there is a cover-up in play.
And, of course, anybody who's read the book Spiritual Politics by Corrine McLaughlin and Gordon Davidson, who are themselves involved in the occult, but their book really gives you what's going on politically from the occult point of view, and they point out that at Nuremberg, when they were trying the Nazi war criminals, Winston Churchill intervened and ordered that the occult Nazi connections would not be brought up. There was to be no mention of the occult. Why? Well, I believe it's because Winston Churchill always had a hidden force behind him. He was a Druid. He was a Mason. He was involved in the occult. He was dedicated to the destruction of the British Empire and the establishment of the one world government. He, of course, had engineered the invasion of Gallipoli, where almost 300,000 men died, totally unnecessarily. He delayed during the Second World War, the invasion of Europe. In my opinion, of course, that was so there'd be as much carnage and horror as humanly possible. And I was told the interference of by Winston Churchill in the plans of our War Department by General Wedemeyer when I visited him back about 1980 before he died. Winston Churchill always had a good press. I wonder why. Well, we're going to be back here in just a with William Kennedy. We want to wrap this up. William, we've just got a couple of more minutes. What things would you like to leave with our listeners tonight?
Well, just take a look at my article at www.williamhkennedy.com. It's called Satanism Threat in the New Millennium. Educate yourself a little bit and share it with friends.
And I think that's important. Now, what about that other book you'd written?
Lucifer's Lodge, Satanic Ritual Abuse in the Catholic Church. It's about the priest crisis. And you can also order that through your organization, RadioLiberty.com. You'll get the inside scoop about what's happening in the Catholic Church.
And I think it's important because, of course, William is writing from a Catholic point of view. But he's concerned about what's happening to his church. I think we should be concerned what's happening to our church as well, because after all, of course, we all acknowledge the divinity of Jesus Christ, and everything's being done to turn Catholic against Protestant and Protestant against Catholic. It's the old dialectic process, and it always works. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this evening has been William H. Kennedy, and we've got 3 minutes to go. So you've got 3 minutes to wrap up all of your thoughts for this evening's program.
Well, thank you, Dr. Stan. I just want people out there to consider the fact that satanic organizations are just below the surface of many of the major institutions we look at in this country, including the Oval Office. And a lot of businesses and media outlets are owned and operated by people who are nothing less than Satanists. Now, that's upper-level elite Satanism. You also have grassroots Satanism, which more targets teenagers. They're just different aspects of the same diabolical plan to dominate the world. The best thing you can do for your children and grandchildren is to educate them against Satanism. Give them the hard facts, which you can get in my article at williamhkennedy.com, and just keep the lines of communications open with any teenagers you know who are involved with this. Certainly don't yell at them. Educate them. Let them know that there's a lot of trouble that spins off from these groups, and there's a potential for a lot of trouble. And if you let them know that, they tend to move away from it, I found, on their own. Okay?
I really believe that the one thing we can do is to try to reach our children, to talk to them about religion, you know, and to try to make them understand that there really is a spiritual battle going on. The Bible is not simply another book, but it is God's Word. And the older I get, the more convinced I am that God does rule in the affairs of men. And if you read the Scriptures and you study Satanists, you will find out that the Satanists believe the Bible. Of course, they're just rooting for the wrong person. So it's so important that we do communicate, that we let people understand that we're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. And, of course, I believe we're coming to a culmination of that battle in the next few years. Well, William Kennedy, thank you so very much for being with us.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Anytime.
Okay, fine. Well, we'd like to get you on, of course, to our other programs, because I think it's an important subject. It's a recurrent theme that we try to get out, but we want to get it out because I don't know that anybody else besides you and a few others are really talking about the true battle. It's not between Republicans and Democrats. It's not between the right and the left. It's not between the conservatives and the liberals. It's a battle between God and Satan, and of course Satan is manipulating both sides of the equation at the present time. It's time that we begin to take our country on our faith back again. Thank you so very much, William. We'll talk to you later.
Very good. Thank you, Doctor.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, we just want to mention that we do carry some fascinating material on this, and if you have not yet seen the videos, either the 3, the 4, or the 10-hour version of They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. It covers a great deal of what we've talked about tonight. The fact that Timothy Leary, who led the drug rebellion in America, he was a professor at Harvard University who gave up his professorship. He was involved with the CIA, but he was also a Crowleyite, and you'll actually hear him on film footage saying, "I am carrying out the programs of Aleister Crowley." And then, of course, the same thing as you learn about Kinsey and Harry Hay, who organized the gay liberation movement, and, of course, the people who are pushing the pornography. You'll actually hear the artists, the rock stars, talking about how they sold their souls to Satan. You can't understand anything going on today. You can't understand Michael Jackson. You can't understand Elvis Presley. You can't understand Marilyn Manson or Ozzy Osbourne or any of the groups, the Led Zeppelins, who, of course, it was the Stairway to Heaven was their group, unless you understand they were all into Crowleyism. So, get the video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll, the 3 or 4 or 10 hour version. We've got a great book entitled The Fallen Angel. We recommend that to you. And then, of course, we have a 4-tape set on Aleister Crowley. We have a 4-tape set on Satanism and deliverance. We have a 4-tape set on the church growth movement, which has its origin in the New Age and in the occult. So much information out there through Radio Liberty you're not going to get elsewhere. If you'd like a free copy of our October newsletter, which goes into the secret satanic society that came to America in 1640, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927, and we'll be glad to send you a free copy. You'll have to ask for the October newsletter, if that's one you're interested in, because it goes into banking, but it goes into the secret society that was here long before the First Bank of the United States, and the occult influence on banking, not only in Europe, but here in the United States as well. And then, of course, we want you to go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com, where you can listen to our programs 5 hours a day, either through RadioLiberty.com or through the other networks we're affiliated with. Your job is to tell other people, to get them to listen. Get them to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, which gives you an overview of this spiritual battle. And you can get the book or the video or the audio tape, or you can get all three of them together at a special reduced price. It is probably the best introduction to what this is all about, because there is a secret. It has been passed down for 6,000 years from generation to generation by the sages of the secret societies that exist. And, of course, they talk about the secret societies in this new film, National Treasure. There really are secret societies, ladies and gentlemen. They've left their emblems every place, hidden in plain sight. If you don't believe it, you need to get the book entitled Masonic and Occult Symbols by Dr. Kathy Burns. It's Satanic and Occult Symbols, and you'll suddenly realize that there are literally hundreds of occult symbols you see all the time, and you have no idea what their meaning is. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the survival of Western civilization. Again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to get the various items we've talked about or a free copy of our newsletter, go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. Tell others about our programs. Tell them about the things we talk about. If you'd like to get copies of this two-hour program tonight, they're available to Radio Liberty. And then pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for our leaders and ministers. But please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until Monday, when we'll be with you once again, God willing. May the Lord be with you.